me. Ooh-wee, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
What did you say, nigga?
Yeah, boy. Y'all, it's your boy, Nestorius, chilling out here on a Thursday night in beautiful, shitty, ditty, scritty downtown Los Angeles and Skid Row Studios. Well, I'm going to get right to the point, man. I want to welcome my new co-host. I'm pretty sure if you're a fan of the show, you have heard him a couple of times before. But my man Sal Rodriguez, we're distantly related somehow. What's up, Sal?
What's up? Good evening.
Y'all, what's up? we're related somewhere along the line, right?
I affectionately refer to you as my Puerto Rican cousin.
Puerto Rican cousin, yeah.
I tell people that. I tell people Nestor is my Puerto Rican cousin. That's what I say.
Yeah, okay.
Because, I mean, let's face it, to your average white American, is there a difference between us, effectively?
Not really. Not really. To a white American, beans are beans.
Yeah.
You know what
whether
I mean?
Whether it's black beans or pinto beans, they're beans.
Yeah, exactly. Well, whether they're made, you know, refried like Mexicans do, or they're made, you know, guisadas like, you know, Puerto Ricans and Cubans and Dominicans do, it doesn't matter. I was at the pool place today, and I forgot how the conversation came up, but Cuban food came up. I have no fucking idea why certain things come up, but it came up.
Cuban food came up as a topic of conversation?
Yeah, something happened, and I said, oh, yeah, I know what happened. So my man at the pool place, you know, knows me. I have to get some chemicals and shit, because a Negro got a pool now.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Motherfucker's rich.
That's it.
You know, I got a motherfucking pool
What's
now.
What's it like to be a one percenter?
That's it.
That's how it's like. I'm at home going,
that's it.
I'm looking at the trees going,
that's it.
Word. I see the grass. I go,
that's it.
How was it like? It's more, to be honest with you, more responsibility. But I don't look at myself as a one percenter. I really don't. You know,
I think if you have a pool in the world, you're a one percenter. You may not be a one percenter in the U.S., but in the world, you're a one percenter.
No. Put it this way. I'm well off. I'm good. Right?
Wow.
But I don't consider myself...
It's nice to be your friend, Nestor.
I don't consider myself a one percenter. My mind is still like, I grew up in the projects.
Okay, hang on a second. We got to let the audience in on a little bit of something. When I first met Nestor this evening and we met at his place, he was very upset because one of his plants died. And it's not just a plant, it's an $800 plant. He has an $800 plant, folks.
It's actually not a plant. It's a desert species of cactus. It looks like a big, long, spiny thing. And just for the record, I didn't pay $800 for that. When I bought the house, the guy who owned the house before us, as part of the negotiation, he was like, you know what? I'm going to throw in all of the plants. And to his credit, there were a lot of fucking plants. And the plants themselves... You know, that particular plant that I'm talking about is an $800 plant. How I know this is because when I was out looking for other plants, I saw one and I was like, holy shit.
Well, you don't just get or receive free plants when you buy a house. It was factored into the price, kind of like free shipping when you go to eBay.
No, it's factored
into the price.
No. By the way,
the sound quality is so good here.
This is...
I feel like I'm hearing myself in HD.
Okay, so we're going to go all over the place.
Wow.
But let me finish the rice and beans story, and then we'll go back to that.
Yeah, tell us about the rice and beans,
To that comment that you made. So I was saying, I was in New York... And the woman next to me, she goes, oh, yeah, New York. How was I? I said, I eat a lot of rice and beans. And she goes, yeah, what are you, Cuban? And I said, no, I'm Puerto Rican. She goes, Cuban food, yeah, there's not that much good Cuban food in L.A. And she goes, how about Versailles? I said, that's okay for white people, but... You know,
it's like Chipotle. It's like all these Chipotles are opening up in Latino neighborhoods, and all of a sudden now the white people are going to Latino neighborhoods to go to Chipotle.
Yeah. They're going to the Latino neighborhoods. Yes. Well, you know, to Chipotle's defense, I wouldn't call that authentic Mexican food.
And that's not their defense. That's to their detriment.
Whatever. I don't mind Chipotle because it's organically raised, you know, beef, pork, or whatever. I can get brown rice. I can get...
You are a one percenter.
No, dude, if I'm going to... Listen, if I want to get fucking Mexican food, here's one thing, right? I go to New York and people are like, what do you want to do? You want to go get some Mexican? I'm like, no. No, I don't want to get Mexican.
Well, fuck you.
I get the best Mexican here in L.A. Okay, why would I fucking go to New York and get Mexican?
I thought you were being anti-Mexican.
No, I got the best Mexican food here. Why in the world would I waste a fucking meal on Mexican food in New York? Why?
Well, I did enjoy a place. I forgot the name of the place. It's a restaurant on Lancashire in North Hollywood that's a Puerto Rican place. I told you I went there recently.
That place is okay. What's it called? Mofongo.
Mofongo, yes. So I went there.
It's okay. You were at my party. You had some of my roast pork, the pernil that I made.
That was genuine Puerto Rican?
That's a Puerto Rican style of making a pork shoulder, yes.
Okay. And you did that all from scratch yourself? You bought the meat, seasoned it?
Correct.
Smoked it? How do you cook it?
In the oven.
Okay. You bake it. You roast it. Is it roasted? How can you bake a cake and roast meat when you're just putting it in the oven? It's the same thing, right?
Because the difference is that you roast it in a pan, so it's covered.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
So you're using the hot air as a convection to just stay within that meat and not, you know.
At what temperature?
350, 325, 350.
How many pounds for how long?
30 minutes a pound.
I'm trying to turn this into a cooking show. I mean, because that sounds good. Because, yes, that pork was delicious.
It was good.
Nestor had a party at his mansion, his 1% mansion.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the pork was delicious.
Well, put it this way. It was good. But it was amazing when it first came out. You understand? It sat there for about a fucking hour. When that thing comes out, you take a pair of tongs and you just pull it out. It's the equivalent of your carnitas.
Mine?
Well, you know,
I don't have no damn carnitas.
You know, your people's. Your people's carnitas. Anyway.
Hang on. For the listener, I love my Mexican heritage. I mean, I love it and I savor it and I'm proud of it. But I'm very removed from it. I'm kind of removed from my Mexican heritage.
Yeah, you're a gringo. You're a gring Mexican.
Yeah, I am, and I'm not proud of that. I really wish I had more Mexican flavor.
Why?
I wish I was more caliente.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm kind of bland, lukewarm. I feel like I'm sort of in between the worlds of white and Latino. I'm not too white. I'm not too Latino. I'm just sort of in the middle, and I feel kind of bland.
But it has to do with your upbringing, right? And it seems to me, and I've met your mom, that your mom is very proud to be American.
She's a proud American because she was born in America.
Right, but she was born here. She's first generation. Her mother and father migrated from Mexico to here. And like a lot of Mexicans, they take pride in the fact that, I mean, I know a lot of Mexicans. Let's say when I was in New York, I remember a few years ago, meaning like 20. So I'm in the library. It was around Christmas time, and there was like a really cute Mexican family. They came in to sing Christmas carols, and the little kids were dressed in like mariachi outfits and stuff like that. And the mom was nice. You can tell they were well put together, but you could tell that they probably just came from Guadalajara, like maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
So I mean, they were authentic Mexicans.
Oh, they were straight the fuck up. You know what I mean? If we were talking about coffee, there would have been Juan Valdez material.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So,
even though I think Juan Valdez was Colombian.
That's what I say if we were talking about coffee. Yes. Never mind. That was a retarded fucking like analogy. I asked the
interesting man. How about him?
I asked the woman.
Oh no, he's Jewish.
I asked the woman. I said, "Hey, well, so well, you know, in Spanish, so what's his name? He's so cute. Whatever. ¿Cómo se llaman?" And in English, she said to me, "Oh, that's Bobby. That's John. That's Peter." And I said, no, come on.
And that's Lance and that's Patrick.
No, de verdad. Yeah. De verdad. And me dijo, no, sí. Yeah.
Well, it's like when Mexicans name their kids Yennefer. Yennefer.
No. I think what it has to do with is that when you're Mexican, and we're going to talk about race, because that's one of my favorite topics to talk about a little after this. But when you come to a country and you stick out like a sore thumb, the last thing you want to do is bring attention to yourself by naming your son Quetzal or fucking, you know, one of those names. And I think that's sad. Yeah. Because I think that part of being an American is to be proud of who you are no matter where you come from.
Yeah.
And that you should not be shamed based on the color of your skin, the language you speak, or you know, how you look.
But is it about being shamed or is it about being convenient? For example, my first name is Guillermo, and I never use Guillermo.
That's your first name?
My first name is Guillermo.
That's bullshit.
You're just learning this now? How long have we been friends?
That's bullshit. You've never told me that.
My first name is Guillermo.
Guillermo.
By the way, I don't normally say it like...
What did you say, nigga?
Your name is Guillermo.
Guillermo. But I never use Guillermo.
Guillermo?
It's not because
it's
I'm not...
It's a great name!
Well, hang on.
So
I don't
where does
use
Sal
it.
Come from?
I don't use Guillermo. Because I get tired of having to pronounce it for people, having to spell it for people. So for my own convenience, I just use Sal.
Guillermo, that's easy. G-U-E-L-L-I-E-R-M-O.
It's not easy because I lived as Guillermo for about 3 years.
Fuck that. That's
and
how
it's
you,
convenient, inconvenient as hell, I'll
that's
tell you.
How you fucking separate your friends from people that you want in your life. If you don't know how to say Guillermo, get the fuck out of my way.
Ain't nobody got time to be explaining shit to people all the time.
All right, so...
Ain't nobody got time for that.
So have you heard the remix of that?
Yes, I did.
I love that shit.
So hold on. So tell me, where the fuck do you get Sal from Guillermo?
Hang on. One thing I'm kind of... Want to be certain. Are we alienating any of your non-Latino listeners? I mean, because I'm coming in here after Rich...
I have a lot of friends of mine.
Okay, God bless Rich. Yeah. He's a white man. I come in here as
He's a redheaded white man.
He's a redheaded. You can't get much whiter.
He was a redheaded white man on the show.
Yes.
He still is a redheaded white man in Boston.
He's still. Okay, he's a white man going to one of the whitest places in America.
He's a güero that gets fucking frozen in LA when it's 65 degrees. We'd be in my backyard smoking cigars and he had a fucking knit cap like a ski parka. I'm like, what are you going to do when you go to Boston, dude?
But you're not concerned. For example, if we were a television show, let's say we were a sitcom and one of the characters was Rich and Rich leaves, they wouldn't have me come on to replace Rich. They would not have two Latinos heading the show. They wouldn't do it.
Here's the beautiful thing about radio.
We got demographics, Mr. Nestor.
Here's the beautiful thing about radio is that, A, you don't know, you can't see what someone looks like.
Well, then we should have shut our mouths and said that my name was Stan.
Except I'm wrong. Because you can see what we look like because we have a beautiful video system here that when you download my podcast, you could choose whether you want just the audio format or the full-on video format. And if you listen to us live on SkidRowStudios.com on Thursday nights from 9 to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, not only can you fucking watch us live as I'm saying it in fucking live action, you can see what Sal looks like. You can also call in. 800-893-9562.
This light is so bright.
Now back to the show.
I feel like I'm an ocean liner in the dark seas, and that's a lighthouse. And by the way, speaking of Latino...
Do you feel like you're a Jamaican beef patty underneath the light of one of those heaters? Do you guys have those heaters, Jenny? You're Salvadorian, right? So like when you make...
Wait a second, are you Jennifer?
Jenny.
You were never been Jennifer.
No, Jenny is my
mom didn't like Jennifer, so she just went with Jenny.
Jenny. Mm-hmm. Okay. So do Salvadorians make like arepas and stuff like that, and they heat them underneath lights in stores? Like in New York, we call those things cuchifritos, right? Like codfish fritters, alcapurrias, potato balls. So we make all these frituras.
That's
like
some island shit.
These fried foods.
And, it's all Greek to me.
And they're put out like...
I don't think anything south of the U.S. border has that.
On the window with these big-ass fucking lights to keep them hot.
You don't have heat lamps.
Heat lamps, yeah. Oh, that there's a word for
no,
that?
No, we just use wood.
All right, so let me go back to this thing when you just said, wow, it sounds really good in here. So Sal used to do a show here on Skid Row Studios. If you've listened to a few of the Nestorius Public Radio episodes before, Sal was here with his mom. He used to do a show at another internet radio station called Sorry You Met My Mother. And so I had him and his mom here, and that was a pretty great show. I love that show. So
you know what? I don't think I actually listened to the show.
That's a great show. I love the show.
Do you listen to every show that you do?
I don't. I'm not like you, meaning when you did your show, the answer is no. The short answer is I don't listen to every show. I have them, and when I'm going on long trips, I'll listen to them. I have, and I fucking broke it out laughing because it's some crazy shit that goes on here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm hypercritical.
Yeah.
Of certain things. And I'm like, you know, once I do something, I don't want to, like when I do stand-up, I don't want to watch my performance. I'm afraid. You know what I mean? because like when I put like you perform stand up, so you perform being in the moment while you're doing it, you have a certain feeling, right? Yeah. So now when you watch it on video, you're like, that was awkward. You know what I mean? So there's a little bit of that in it. So I don't listen to all the shows, but I did listen to that one. That was funny.
Unfortunately, I don't think I ever listened to it. And this is no discredit to you, but it has to do with I stopped listening when I was guests on shows, when I was a guest commentator or a guest on a show. I stopped listening after a while. I also always listen to my own shows, but the shows that I was a guest on or a guest co-host, even, I didn't listen to.
I get it. I mean,
because there was so many people just calling me all the time, be on this show, be on that show.
So Sal, I'm kidding. And if you've listened to one of those shows that Sal's been on, I think he's been on a couple aside from that. Sorry, You Met My Mother episode
on the Stories Public Radio.
Yeah, you've been on two.
I've been on two or three. Prior to today, yes.
Yeah, prior to today. And so if you listen to it, you'll probably remember that Sal used to have a show here on Skid Row Studios a long time ago called Registered Ear Offenders.
I wonder if there are any listeners from that era. I wonder if there are any listeners from the beginning of your show who have stayed with you this whole ride. You've been on over a year, right?
Over two years.
I wonder if there are any old timers listening who were there at the beginning.
There are a lot of old timers.
Really?
Sure.
That's great.
I have a lot of, most of my listeners, put it this way, there's no way for me to find out how many actual overall listeners I have because I get downloads. I get statistics of downloads per month, right?
Yeah, you know how many downloads you get per month, but you don't know who they are.
Not only do I not know who they are, but I don't know if they're all, for instance, I haven't uploaded a show in 3 weeks because there was a little glitch on my part or whatever. So today, there's 3 episodes going up, right?
Yes.
So if 300 downloads go, from tonight to tomorrow, does that mean that 100 people downloaded, right?
You have to factor in what they call the rate of attrition. I know I have a YouTube channel, and I checked the stats, and in one day I noticed that I gained about 15 subscribers but lost about 7.
Well, but what I'm saying is, do I have 100 listeners downloading those 3 episodes?
Or do you have one listener downloading 100 times?
No, or do I have like 80? And they're listening, they downloaded 2 of those and 3 of the other ones. Because I have a lot of people that I look at my stats and some episodes are very popular. I know what the highest amount of episodes are.
And you know your highest rated episode?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I did one that was a Scientology episode. That one is fucking off the charts. I don't know why. My mixtapes, I do some mixtapes. Those are pretty popular. So those are some things there. But what I'm saying is, I don't know how many actual subscribers I have is what I'm trying to say. But I average between 1,000 to 1,300 downloads a month, which is pretty good, for 2 years.
I appreciate you being so candid on the air. You don't try to inflate it. You don't try to say you got 10,000 downloads a month.
No, 1,300 downloads a month is pretty good.
To me, it's quite respectable.
No,
but you can lie about it. You can say you got 20,000.
No, the listener's
not going to know if you got 20,000.
Can I tell you the truth? I don't give a fuck about those people who are not yet listening to Nestorius Public Radio. I'm committed and I'm grateful to the already and old school subscribers. These are people who subscribe and they've been from the beginning. I know for a fact that a majority of those downloads are those people. I know that.
Well, you're kind of an open, candid person because telling on the air how many subscribers you have is almost like, I think, telling someone your credit report, telling how somebody how much you make. I mean, it's fine if you want to reveal that, but at the same time, you're not worried about people judging you.
They can judge me all I want. The beautiful thing about the show is that, and it's good we're having this conversation, is that, I mean, the intro music is we ain't doing nothing but talking shit, right?
Yes.
So here's the deal. I try to come up with topics that are provoking, thought-provoking, but, I'm not a fucking, PhD in, racial relations. And, I have a bachelor's degree in visual arts. That doesn't mean I'm qualified, to give you scientific probabilities of this, that, and the other. I have a lot of opinions. That's why I'm doing a fucking show.
I think you have a PhD in street smart. They say you got book smart, street smart. You got a PhD in street smart.
Well, I mean,
I would think so.
Yeah.
I don't think you're one of these naive people that walks the earth just kind of...
No,
knowing what's going on around you.
No, no.
You're aware. You're an aware person.
I'm an aware and I'm a seeker.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a seeker. And the beautiful thing about doing a radio show is that it propels you to investigate and to learn. And so, you know, since I've been doing this show for over 2 years, I read a lot. I'm more informed. I mean, whether it's actual real information is another story.
Wait, are you reading? When you say you read a lot, you're referring to news stories or you're referring to books?
News stories.
Like you're not reading Dickens or
No. I stopped reading that shit when I was in high school, man. You know,
it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Who was that? No, was that Dickens?
Yeah,
that was
Dickens. I have no idea. You lost me at it was.
A Tale of Two Cities, man. They taught all of us all that shit in school.
Yeah, they taught you all sorts of bullshit that was irrelevant to life, right? They didn't teach you anything that was relevant and to the reality of your people.
Well, that's why I had to listen to KRS-One. Not that he was necessarily talking about my people as in Latinos or Mexicans, but definitely a person, I would say, of the streets. I would say a person of the streets, a life of the streets. That doesn't mean you're necessarily a gangster. It doesn't mean you're necessarily out to no good, but you're there in the streets with the public.
You're aware.
You know what's going on.
Yeah.
You see what's going on.
You're not sleeping.
Yeah.
KRS-One, only one KRS. That's right, single, solo, no one, no less.
In fact, being from New York, have you maybe been by KRS-One's house? Do they do a tour?
No, but you have a picture of KRS-One, motherfucker.
I saw him at Walmart.
You took a picture with KRS-One at Walmart. I don't even have a fucking picture with KRS-One. That's my dude, man. You kidding me?
I was like in line. He was in line right ahead of me, and I started talking to him. And the lady, the cashier, was like, "Excuse me, sir, can you please keep the line moving?" I was like, "This is KRS-One, lady."
You said that?
Yeah.
He was like,
"She's trying to keep the line moving in Walmart."
He was like, "Let me tell you something." He's got this deep fucking chocolate voice, right?
I mean, you know what, though? I was surprised how warm and friendly he was.
Oh, I'm sure.
He was like, I always thought he would be sort of cool just by what he says.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was very warm and friendly.
Yeah.
I mean, like, surprisingly so. Big smile on his face, very warm, accommodating.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, some people, you're like, "Can I take a selfie with you?" They're like, "Fuck you."
No, most people are pretty cool. I mean,
really? No, but some people, you could tell that they don't really want to do it, but they'll do it, but they're resenting it.
I mean, I remember when I was into records, turntables, and I was playing. I used to go to the record store almost every other day, and I saw a Q-Tip from Tribe Called Quest.
Yes.
And I was like, yo, because that dude is nasty, man.
Yeah.
Not just, I mean, he's a library of music.
I haven't heard from him in a while or heard of him.
Well.
Is he still in music?
Yeah. Well, they were one of the first rap bands to sample obscure R&B and fucking old school, you know, music, you know, Afrocentric music, jazz and stuff like that. And it's primarily because of him. He has a vast knowledge of that type of shit. So he'll take like a little sample of like, I don't know, some Boney James record or whatever the fuck.
Would you say that A Tribe Called Quest inspired Digable Planets?
I think anything before Digable Planets inspired Digable Planets.
We beat to rap, Wiki beat to lock, because I'm cool like that. I'm cool like that. I'm cool like that. I'm cool like that. I love the way my voice sounds on here, really. I'm in love with my own voice.
We beat to rap like a bubble jig bap. That was some retarded shit. Right?
That was a good song for its time.
That was a good beat, but it was
I still like that. You know what? I'm going to go home and I'm going to YouTube that.
But it was like, we beat the rock to the bubble jeep bap. Don't stop the whack and you wobble lick that.
Because like
I'm cool like that.
You know what they were?
I'm cool like that. But that's all they did.
But they were like the beatniks of rap.
But they only did one fucking record that was worth anything.
A lot of good groups. Das FX only had like one.
They had about two.
No, but they only had, what was it?
They Want Effects.
Besides They Want Effects, they had no other hits besides that
one. I'm pretty sure they had a couple more.
I don't think so.
Anyway, we just
bum stickity bum stickity bum. Huh?
My neck bone connected to the bing bone.
Bones connected to my thigh bone.
We were supposed to talk about some other shit.
That's fun.
We need to fucking bring that shit back.
I do nothing but talking shit. By the way, I admire the way that you have the N-word.
The N-word.
In your intro. How many people have the N-word in their intro?
Well, you know, that was when, you know, that was official. That was back in the day from Sanford and Son. Right?
What?
That's where that's from.
That's where that, that's...
What did you say, nigga?
Oh, that's Aunt Esther.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
That's right. That's when it was, that's when it was official.
You know, she used to be a stripper in her youth. I think you told me that. Did you tell me that?
No, I didn't.
Aunt Esther was a stripper burlesque performer in her youth.
But that was a very good segue, Guillermo.
Why, thank you, Nestor.
Guillermo. I like that. I like
I'm
by the way,
I'm adjusting my tie.
I know a lot of people whose names are Guillermo, and they don't go from Guillermo to Sal. They go to Guille. Or
by the way, I would just like to ask all of our white listeners to stick around. You know, don't think. Well, now that Rich is gone, I might as well take a hike now that the white guy's gone. Please. Give us a chance. All we are saying is give Sal a chance, or Guillermo for the Latino oriented. What are you doing?
I was trying to touch myself. Hold on a second. Ready?
Peace. This is Common. And right now you're checking out Nestorius Public Radio. Y'all stay in tune. Love.
Yeah. Yeah. That shit is official right there.
You got Common.
I got Common. That's official. That's official.
I'm proud that you're having me here today.
That's really official. Well, you're the new co-host, man. I'm happy that I'm happy that you
I passed the drug test. I passed the background check.
And that, let me just wrap up the thing about you. I really loved your show because it was probably one of the most tight professional shows on Skid Row Studios at the time. And like I tried to emulate your show in the sense that I tried to have some sort of a, you know, time outline.
You have a time outline that I never even look at.
Never adhere to it. No, I do look. I look at it. So,
all right, okay. Well, in that case, right now we should be on. We should be talking about Trump then at this point.
No. We're gonna get to Trump real quick. But what we're gonna do is the N word. Like, you know, I could have just left it at the segue there, but I wanted to go back. My ADD ass wanted to go back and finish the loop because you looped it. You know what I'm saying?
You took your own record and you duped it.
You duped it.
We just alienated anyone under 40.
A little third base reference, the Cactus album. All right.
Gas face up!
Yeah! Anyway, so here's the thing. Obama, so I'm flying from New York and I see this on the fucking CNN and, you know, Fox News. Of course, all these like Republican fucking news outlets. But they were in an outrage. Apparently, President Obama used the N-word, and they were like, I was like, really? Good for him, right? Because I'm thinking, if he did use it, right, he must have used it, fuck the right context, right? He must have used it, like, in an appropriate form, like to make a really good point, right? So, of course, there was two black newscasters. One of them got in trouble because I think he's on CNN. He whipped out a sign, and the sign said, N, you know, asterisk, you know, R.
Yes.
Does this word offend you?
Yes.
Like in a big sign.
Yes.
So these guys at Fox, they were having a fucking big debate about it. Like, he's just doing that to get ratings and da-da-da-da-da. And then so there's a couple of black dudes on CNN who are just fucking, you know. So here's the thing. I don't want to say what I thought they were, but they were basically saying, I don't think that, you know, that's, I don't think the president should be using that word. And, you know, I personally find it offensive. And, it's like, shut the fuck up, okay?
Wait, these are black guys?
Yeah. But they're black only by the color of their skin. Because if you were to put them in a room and not look at them, they're white. They're white guys.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So I mean, there's the thing about race that's so fucking stupid. Because just because you look black, right, doesn't mean you are. Whatever that means. Meaning, and I'll clarify, doesn't mean you're a typical black person. What does that mean? Doesn't mean that you are, you know, black power. Yo, I'm gonna fuck you up, sucker. You know, and so we all have all these stereotypes, right? And every one of us can come off as sounding racist and appearing racist.
That was Nestor saying all that, not me.
No. I'm just saying it's, you can come off seeing racist. Like when I say, oh, he's not really black, he's white. right there, you're going off into a fucking, you know, explosion of controversy. But who gives a fuck, man? That's what makes us all, you know, interesting people in America. Our differences is what makes us interesting. You know what I mean? So, and so basically, Barack, Mr. President, President Obama, was basically saying something in response to the murders that happened last week in South Carolina, where this white kid goes in to a church and shoots everybody and kills like 9 people, right?
Yes.
So he basically says,
is this your first show since that incident?
This is my first show since that incident. Yes. Yeah. So he basically says, it's not just a matter of it not being polite to say nigger in public. That's not the measure of whether racism still exists or not. It's not just a matter of overt discrimination. That's what he said, right?
Well, but is that the end of it, or is there more?
Well, no, that's what he said. Okay. That, I mean, he had a big speech, but that's where he used the word nigger.
Yes.
Right? So Obama, the first black president, told Marc Maron, host of What the Fuck podcast, in an hour-long chat, which is pretty good. I got to give a fucking big up Marc Maron.
I think he's the only podcaster to have the president on, isn't he?
Dude, that's fucking huge. Yeah. Fucking big up Marc Maron, you bomba-clad, pussy-clad man. That's a big deal, man, to have the fucking president of the United States on your podcast. Yeah. Come on, dude.
I think the president should be allowed to say whatever they want. I think as the president, you kind of can do whatever you want.
I think anybody should be allowed to say whatever the fuck they want to say, dude. We live in America.
Well, context is everything.
But your speech is protected by the Constitution. Everyone should be allowed to say whatever the fuck they want to say.
We are allowed to say, in the sense that we're not going to be fined or imprisoned for saying it. But that doesn't mean that you're not going to take shit for it.
Yeah, but you're going to be... Look, the word nigger is offensive. Okay?
Yes.
The word itself is not offensive. It's offensive because of what it represents, right? It represents, you know, hundreds of years of oppression of, you know, African slaves in this country. Why should... you should fucking feel uncomfortable. You should fucking feel uncomfortable when somebody says that word. Because a lot of people, you know, a lot of our ancestors fucking... That was their thing. I mean, you know... The thing is not to fucking forget and not to do it again. But that's impossible. I mean, I think that's what the president was trying to say.
Everything has to be taken into context, including a word. And I say this as a, I guess I'm a grammarian by default since I'm a writer. But the word has to be taken into context. Are you calling someone that? Also, is it ER?
Are you calling someone what?
Are you calling someone, are you saying to somebody, fuck you, nigger? Or are you saying to your buddy, what's up, my nigga?
I just wanted to hear you say that.
Okay. There's a difference. There's a difference between and There is a difference. People don't want to talk about it. They don't like to say anything about it. There is a difference between and
What did you say, nigga?
Yeah.
So she says nigga. She doesn't say nigger.
She says
Yeah.
She's most likely referring to Fred Sanford.
She's referring to Fred Sanford.
Fred Sanford
and nappy-headed.
Is Esther's sister's husband.
Right.
She's Nestor's, at Nestor.
No, she's his ex-wife's sister.
Yes. No, not ex-wife.
His wife that
deceased
died.
Deceased wife.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you, honey. Yeah. I'm coming to join.
She's his sister-in-law.
It's like the word fuck. If I say to you, fuck you, well, that's offensive and you will get mad at me. Dude. But if I stub my toe and say fuck, that's different.
Dude.
It's context.
Dude, the word Republican is offensive to a lot of people, right?
Ooh.
To a lot of left-wingers. I mean...
What's the context?
The word Democrat or liberal is offensive.
Word itself. No,
sure.
It's not. No. No.
Sure it is.
No, it's not.
When you say these fucking liberal motherfuckers, you know, if it wasn't for those fucking liberals, you fucking homos would fucking be running the world. I mean...
But not the word, and it doesn't say in the newspaper, L...
That's because people in America are fucking, they're hypocrites, okay? You want to be able to think something, but God forbid you fucking say it, okay? Let me give you an example. It's just like everyone sees, okay, so you can't see naked women on TV, or you can't see fucking on TV.
Unfortunately.
Because it's offensive. But yet, that happens every day. It's like, who is, I mean, I don't understand. It's like, that happens every day. You're getting fucked every day. You're getting penile implanted on a daily basis.
Who, me?
Yeah, you and me. We all are. It's just like,
Wait, we're getting fucked by who?
By the system, by the man. Come on, dude.
I don't know, man. You got a pool. How can you be acting like a victim when you got a pool, man?
I'm not acting like a victim. I'm just saying my pool has nothing to do with me being fingered
you
by
got
the
a
fucking
pool
local
and a,
government.
And a five-speed awesome German car.
Let me tell you something. Me.
That's it, man. Look, you're out of it. You're out of the struggle, man.
Me having a pool has nothing to do with struggle. It has to do with the fact that you're getting fucked on some level. It does. That has nothing to do with struggle. I mean, I'm a working class guy. Don't worry about
you're a working man. You are. You're a working man.
I'm a working class
guy. But I don't know about working class. That's different.
Oh,
that's different.
Oh yeah.
No.
So what am I? A white collar worker?
Well, if you're trying to create a distinction between white collar and working class, there's something in the middle there.
I'm a working class dude. My father was a doorman. Okay, in a fucking high rise. And I was an electrician. That's where I made my main source of income.
Okay, we have to go back to how many years removed from are you from being an electrician?
About 5 or 6, but I was an electrician for about 17. Maybe a little longer.
Okay, yeah. You've been removed from being an electrician from a little
longer. But I was a blue collar worker, dude, for a long time. Yeah. I mean
you
am
were
I,
no 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 but the
I'm saying, am I a blue collar worker in my heart? No, I'm not. Am I a white collar worker in my heart? No. The thing is, I'm an artist. That's really what's in my heart. And you really can't put a price
tag. Yes, the hardest artist and the smartest premier sparked this.
That's right, Mike.
Did I go British?
I don't know what the fuck you were doing, but like I'm following you, Mike.
That was Karis One, man.
But like I'm following you, Mike, and it really doesn't matter, right?
So is the question, like, is Obama allowed, so to speak, to use the N-word? Is that the question?
Okay, I'm going to read the quote again because I think it's beautiful what he said. He said, it's not just a matter of not being polite to say nigger in public. That's not, you know, that's not the measure of whether racism still exists or not. It's not just a matter of overt discrimination. You know what I mean?
I want to hear the rest of what he said.
So Google it. I mean, Obama uses the N-word. Basically, look, it's like this. Just because you don't use the N-word doesn't mean we're not racist. That's it. That's at the bottom line. It's not enough to not say the word nigger in public. We need to do more as a people in America, is what he was saying. That was the outline of the whole thing. It's like people think that, you know, racism doesn't exist in America. People are fucking racist, bro. And they're overt about it, okay?
Well, you know what's interesting is people try to make it into a partisan issue. They try to make racism into a partisan issue when it's really not. Let me tell you something. I have heard what would be considered bleeding heart liberals say nigger. I've heard them say it.
Sure.
Whereas I've heard Republican right wing people, I've never heard them say it.
Sure.
So does that mean that the Democratic person who's trying to be a poser as a liberal is really not? He's a racist. Can you be a liberal and a racist?
Here.
Can you be a conservative and not be a racist?
In 2001... a book, Nigger, The Strange Career of a Troublesome Word, author Randall Kennedy listed Richard Nixon, Lyndon B. Johnson, and Harry Truman as frequent offenders, okay? Nixon was caught on his own White House tapes referring to blacks as niggers and jigaboos, another racial epithet.
Well, that's unfortunate because now Obama's not the first president to use the word.
Publicly. Though Johnson pushed through landmark civil rights laws, as we all know, he didn't do it on his own, like by virtue. He did it because he had to.
Yes.
Right? Biographer Robert Dalek wrote that Johnson said he nominated well-known jurist Thurgood Marshall to the Supreme Court rather than the lesser-known black candidate because when I appoint a nigger to the bench, I want everybody to know he's a nigger. Okay, that's Lyndon B. Johnson.
But that was said in private. Was that Johnson quote said in private or public? I think probably private.
Private, yeah.
Okay, here's what I love.
Hold on.
I love.
Truman called Congressman Adam Clayton Powell that damn nigger preacher, Kennedy wrote. I mean, Obama used the word multiple times in his pre-presidential autobiography, Dreams from My Father. As president, Obama has been less provocative on race. He said in the interview that the United States has made progress on race in the past 50 years, but the legacy of slavery still casts a shadow. It's a long shadow, okay?
I love that a black president, by the way, officially I still will say, and this has nothing to do with me taking away his blackness, but he's a biracial person. He's half black, half white. I wouldn't just call a biracial person black. I wouldn't just call him white. I just wouldn't do it.
Who gives a fuck what he's? Yo, he's a person. That's the whole point.
Well, no, it's not just the whole point.
Elvis was a hero to most.
But he never meant shit to me. You say straight out racist. The sucker was simple and plain. Look, the,
yeah.
the 90s rap, we're all over it. No, here's the thing. The fact that Obama is black is relevant to what he said. If a white president would have said that, well, a white president wouldn't say that because it wouldn't apply to him.
Right.
All right. So Obama is one of those biracial persons who, if you just saw him, if you were not the president and you were just see him walking down the street, you would think he was black. You wouldn't necessarily think he was biracial. Whereas some biracial people, you can tell. Some biracial people, you can tell they're half black, half white. My nephews are half Japanese, half European. You can tell that they're mixed.
So basically, if somebody looks black, then you... That's a perfect point right there that you made.
Well,
so
a lot of people call Obama black.
So
Dude. I don't call him black. I call him officially biracial is what I
He's black, bro. I mean.
But
I
his
mean,
mother's white.
Who gives
Doesn't that
a
mean
fuck?
Anything?
Who gives a fuck?
What do you mean who gives a fuck?
Because it's like being Jewish.
If that's your mother, relevant.
If your father's Jewish, you're Jewish. If your father's black, you're black. It's that simple. Okay? That's the way it works in the projects, okay? Yeah.
I think that if you're biracial, you're biracial, and that's cool.
Listen, when you're collecting welfare, that's the first question they ask you. Boy, who's black in your family, boy? Is it the mama or is it the papa?
Who said that, Nixon or Johnson?
No, that's a questionnaire on the welfare, like in the 70s, the welfare line.
I could imagine.
Yeah.
I could imagine. Let me tell you something. Our family...
Of course, I just made that up just to see.
My lineage does have people have been prejudiced. People have been racist to members of my family from all different directions, mind you. Whether
That's
it be...
It.
Yo, racism has nothing to do with the actual skin color of somebody. Racism has to do with the fact that somebody is afraid of somebody having more or being in a more powerful position than you yourself, right? And so
it has to do with the need to feel superior. I need to feel superior over somebody,
right.
So
but,
I need to, in my mind, make them less.
But your superiority is threatened, right? So you need to put a finger on that.
Yeah.
And so my opinion and my theory on all this stuff that's been going on is not that all of a sudden racism is popping up. This shit has been going on forever. Black people being shot, black people being fucking brutalized by the cops. That shit, if you were to take a statistics of every precinct in America, right? Every arrest, and you were to go from before Obama being elected president, I guarantee you that it was the same amount of people. Nothing's changed. What has changed is two things. Everyone has a fucking video camera now on their phone, number one. Number two, my theory is this. In keeping with we just talked about feeling like your superiority is being threatened. Since Obama has been elected president, the first black president, all these right-wing, conservative, white supremacist thinking fucks, they're threatened. It's a subconscious thing. So as a result, they have to overcompensate by that, right? So it's almost as if you have a slave, right? So you own a slave. This nigga's getting all uppity. I'm gonna have to whip him down a couple and show him who the fuck is the boss here. And I think that's what the collective consciousness of all these fucking, you know, conservative, racist, whatever, you know, white supremacist, whatever the fuck you want to call these people, that has been coming up. You understand? So it's more overt. You know what I mean?
But I think you've thrown out the word conservative.
Conservative.
And I would argue that a lot of people who would not identify as conservative, as religious conservative, as Christian conservative, as Republican by any means, could still be racist and could still be prejudiced.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going by a prejudiced a perspective, right? Because I'm assuming that everyone who's not a Republican and conservative and white supremacist, you have black supremacists who like think fucking black people, you know, should be. I mean, believe me, what you're saying is 100% right. So, but what I'm saying is that I feel that this is just coming up as a result of our president being black. I mean, it's almost like when he threatened or when he was trying to pass gun control laws, right? everyone all of a sudden went out to buy guns and ammunition because they're afraid, they're threatened that the security of having arms was going to be taken away from them. So it comes out all in bunches. Does that make sense at all?
I think also it may be the fear of black men coming for your white daughters.
Right, right.
They're coming for your
white daughters. Listen, you forget it, man. If you haven't tried black, your shit is whack.
By the way, I like white daughters. I do very much. I'm coming for the white daughters.
I'm a Latino, put it this way. I'm Puerto Rican.
You went for the white daughters.
Well, the last thing I wanted to do was date a Puerto Rican chick.
Really?
Yeah. I was born with that, bro. My sister's Puerto Rican. My mother's Puerto Rican. I had enough of that shit. I don't want to be near that. You understand?
So do you echo Arnold Schwarzenegger's words? What did he say? That Puerto Rican women were firecrackers or they'll cut you or something? He said something about Puerto Rican women.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's a fucking retard.
He said something like they're on fire or something.
When did he have a Puerto Rican?
15 years ago, he made some sort of comment about Puerto Rican women.
What, he had a Puerto Rican maid in a movie or something?
I don't remember the context, but I remember him saying something about Latino women in particular. It wasn't Mexican, though. It was Puerto Rican women.
You know, one time I was in a play.
There's a stereotype about Puerto Rican women that's not there for Mexican women.
There's a stereotype about every fucking body. I was in a play, right, one time.
But wait a second. You're a Puerto Rican man. Is it true? You just are saying that it's true.
Let me finish. I was in a play one time, and we're rehearsing. And at first, it was supposed to be a table read, right? And then the guy says, I want to put it on its feet so that, you know, I'm going to have some investors come and watch the thing. So there's a couple weeks of rehearsing, and at the time, you know, my wife was going to come and I just needed a ticket for my wife. And my man was like, no, she's got to buy a ticket. I said, the fuck she's going to buy a ticket because I'm not getting paid. I'm doing this as a fucking favor to you. I'm not fucking doing this because my life depends on it. And I'm not buying a fucking ticket for my wife. So you better get a fucking ticket for my wife or there's going to be a problem. Right. Basically. Right. So I was ready to say, fuck you. You do the part. And, you know, but the only reason I didn't do that is because you have all these actors that are fucking licking balls and they're like, oh, no, I'm not going to say nothing about it. No. It's like, dude, get the man the fuck up, man. You know, this is the director. The director was a douchebag. So I basically went to the playwright who basically cast me. And you know, I said, you need to talk to your fucking asshole director. He's telling me I can't get a ticket. If I can't get a ticket for my wife, he's doing the fucking part. Right. So after the whole thing, he goes, oh, yeah, you're Latino. You're a little, you know, spicy or something like that. That's what he says to me. And I told him, I forgot what he said. You're a little, you know, you're a little hot tempered because you're Latino, whatever. I said, I'm not hot tempered because I'm Latino. I'm hot tempered because you're a fucking asshole. It has nothing to do with me being Latino. It has to do with the fact that you're a douchebag because everyone here is doing a play for you for nothing. And you're going to make them buy a ticket. You should check yourself, dude. I mean, it's
like
that simple.
Like I said, the Puerto Ricans are fiery.
So anyway, I don't know, man. All I know is that Latino women are all different. You know, Latino women are beautiful. They're gorgeous people like all women are. All I'm saying is I was brought up by a Puerto Rican woman. She was a little crazy. She still is. I think she's bipolar. My sister and I, we grew up fighting. All I'm saying is by the time I was ready to date, I wasn't going to be dating no Latino women.
You haven't dated Puerto Rican women?
I dated a couple when I was younger, you know what I mean? But, you know, that was in the neighborhood, and then I moved on, you know what I mean?
Because let me tell you something. I dated a couple of Puerto Rican women.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah. Well, also, it was sort of a culture thing for me, so I was like, oh, wow, Puerto Rican from New York. You know, like, it was like a novelty.
Yeah.
I mean, growing up as a Mexican in Los Angeles, then I hook up with a Puerto Rican girl from New York. That was a novelty. I was like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah. Mexican chicks, I mean, it depends. Mexican chicks, I've never been necessarily attracted to Mexican chicks. Like, you know, some guys are like, yo, man, I want to get me a Mexican chick. I'm like, for what, man? You want fresh made tortillas, dude? Just go to fucking Poquito Mas.
You just said the T word. That's what said the T word on the air.
I just used the T word, tortillas. Yo, man, you a racist?
T dot 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 dot.
Yeah, tortillas. Tortilla. Did you just say fucking tortilla, motherfucker?
Did you just see a woman just saw Jesus on a tortilla recently? A recent tortilla Jesus sighting.
People see Jesus every fucking where, man. I mean, I'm not hating on it.
I mean, who's to say they're not? I'm just saying Jesus is on tour again in the tortilla realm.
Let's get back to you mentioned Trump earlier. So Trump announced that he was running for president, right? And Trump is a big douchebag, okay? I doubt anybody who listens to my show
supports Trump
or thinks Trump is not a douchebag. Trump is a billionaire. Talk about 1%. That motherfucker is like a fucking 0.1%, okay? And not only that, he's a fucking bigot and like disgusting. He's gross.
You got to rally your base, though. He's speaking to his base is what he's doing.
No, he's not speaking to his base. No, he's not.
He's not?
No. He announced his presidency.
Wait, let me get one thing straight. Party is he with?
He's a Republican.
Okay, because I heard he was going independent.
He's a Republican. Whatever the fuck you want to call it.
Well, no, the question is, what initial is there next to his name in parentheses?
Who gives a fuck what initial he is, man? He represents... All right, fuck the word Republican, okay? Because you know what? Republican doesn't mean anything. He's an asshole. That's the fucking ticket he's running on, okay? Because, I mean, let's do a little history, right? So
we got 6 minutes to do
history. We got 6 minutes. So Republicans were at the time against slavery, okay? Abraham Lincoln was a Republican. Republicans were about the freedom and civil rights, okay? Democrats were not. Remember, Lyndon B. Johnson was a Democrat. Lyndon B. Johnson could give three fucks about the Civil Rights Act or the Civil Rights Movement.
Johnson?
That's right.
I heard that he spearheaded a lot of the Civil Rights
Movement. He did because he had to, but that wasn't his thing. He was a good old boy from Texas.
Also, he went along with it, but he wasn't really into it.
That's correct. That wasn't his thing. He had to. Yep. He had to sign the fucking bill.
Sure. He was in that spot at the time.
He took JFK. JFK got killed in 2 years into his term. Lyndon B. Johnson was the vice president. He took over JFK. In order to get reelected, he needed to sign that fucking bill. Otherwise, he's going to be booted out.
Yeah.
And so that was the only reason. So let's just get something clear when it comes to racism and fucking race and Democrats and Republicans. So that shit means nothing. What Republicans are about, not having to pay taxes, and they want to keep more of their money, which I don't blame them for that. At the same time, they're against, you know, public handouts, public subsidies, you know, public education and all that stuff, only because in order for public subsidies, public education, free health care and all that stuff, where are you going to get the money to pay for that? By raising taxes.
Yeah.
So that's all it comes down to. It's about money.
Well, theoretically.
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 Theoretically. So let me just wrap this up here. So Trump says on jobs, I am God. These are things why he'd be a good president. I will be the greatest jobs president that God ever created, Trump said. He said the unemployment in the country is actually between 18 and 21% rather than the official government figure of 5.6%. See, this is perfect. He's a douchebag. He has no idea what the actual fucking unemployment rate is because his fucking head.
Well, nobody knows what the actual unemployment
rate
is.
Exactly, but he's saying it's actually between 18 and 21%.
It's like the Nielsen families. They think they know because of how many people have applied for unemployment.
I don't see a shortage of iPhones, though. I mean, that should be a gauge. I don't see Apple's fucking stock dropping since fucking Obama was president. Yeah. That should be some sort of a gauge of how good economically our country's doing. I mean, the
people
facts,
still buying. Shit.
Well, the facts are, that's the fucking facts. Apple stock before 2008 was down to fucking $40-something. You know how much it is now? Over $600. Do the fucking math. That's not a figment of some Nielsen ratings hallucination. That's a fact.
I was thinking about getting a new iPhone. I have an iPhone 5.
Fuck the iPhone. I do not need a new iPhone, but I was thinking about getting a new iPhone. Fuck the iPhone. On immigration, build walls. Okay, Trump said that if elected president, remember, he's not officially running because he's not officially running, but he said if he would order the construction of a great wall along the United States southern border to stop Mexico from sending people with lots of problems into this country. And he said he will force Mexico to pay for it. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists.
What kind of drugs are we talking about?
They're rapists. Well, obviously not hair follicle fucking drugs because the motherfucker's still wearing a toupee. They're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people. Some, like maybe three of them, the ones that babysit his mother. But I speak to border guards, and they tell us what we're getting, he said. He speaks to border guards. When? When the fuck do you go near the border, you fucking uptight, rich, white, cracker motherfucker? When?
That's it. We just lost the white audience.
Booted
them out.
The U.S. has become a dumping ground for everybody else's problems, he said. He may be right there, but it's not Mexico. Mexico is not the fucking problem in this country, okay? This is one of the smartest things he said on free trade. Americans are dumb. Trump said he supports free trade with China, but thinks the U.S. should tax it for devaluing its currency. There's a lot of things when it comes to money that he says. First of all, let me just say something. We have a sanction against Cuba, right? For fucking over 60 years. Cuba's a communist country. Fucking so is China, right?
Yeah.
But we have no problem trading with fucking China and having 90% of our merchandise being produced there.
Sure.
Right?
And don't they still kill the second child?
Of course they do.
Does that still happen?
Well, who the fuck knows what they do? They fucking put Mugu Guy bullshit in your fucking ass. But you know what I'm saying? It's just like such contradictory bullshit. I mean, the reason America's economy is based on hallucinations is because all fucking manufacturing jobs have left America. And they're made for pennies on the dollar in fucking other countries like China. Yeah, but China's a fucking communist country, and we're okay to do that because it behooves us, right? It's fucking bullshit. On education, Americans are dumb. Trump was highly critical of the cost and quality of education in the United States, but did not elaborate on his plans for correcting these issues. Okay.
That's because he doesn't have any answers. What are his answers?
Well, you know, he's
What are his solutions to all these problems? I'd love to hear that. Build a wall. That's a solution. Let's build a wall.
Yeah.
What are you, 10?
Yeah.
You're going to put up a fort? Let's build a fort.
Well, check it out. This wall has been attempted to be built for at least 15 years. It's still not completed, right? I'd elect him as president if he just take his own fucking money and build a casino alongside the fucking border. You know, Trump border casino. And just fucking, you build it, you fucking keep the Mexicans there playing fucking soccer slot machines, and you just keep them there and put your money where your mouth is. You know what I mean?
At least that's some sort of solution.
That's some sort of solution. But, I mean, to say Mexico's bringing us their problems, I mean, come on, get the fuck out of here.
Mexico's bringing us their problems, like Selma Hayek. Yeah. She is such a problem for me.
Listen, so we're about time because we went off on KRS-One.
We did not stick to the script whatsoever.
That's okay. 90s hip hop. This is just a guideline, just so you know, in case we're at a loss for words, we go back.
That's not going to happen.
That's what it is. So, but I definitely want to go into Serena Williams and racial and sexual.
I would like to go into Serena Williams
racial and sexual epithets. Maybe we'll refer to that next week's episode, which will be the 4th of July episode, and you know, the independence and freedom of the United States. We can tap into that.
I would like to speak on Serena.
So anyway, that's it for our show. Make sure you tell your friends about Nestorius Public Radio. If you haven't done so already and this is your first show and you dug what we were doing, subscribe to the show. Go to iTunes. Go to the podcast section. Go to Nestorius Public Radio and hit subscribe. You know what I'm saying? Just hit that button, man. Just subscribe. And here, more importantly, go to your iTunes preferences, man, and check automatically download new podcasts as opposed to doing it manually. So every time your iTunes is open and you're connected to the internet, it'll automatically download.
This motherfucker talking about iTunes. Weren't you just talking shit about Apple 5 minutes ago?
I wasn't talking about Apple.
You were saying, you said fuck Apple.
I said fuck the iPhone. I didn't say fuck Apple.
Okay, all right.
I mean, I could tell you about Apple, Apple, but that's another story. the way to get our podcast is through iTunes. You can download my podcast directly from skidrowstudios.com if you so choose to. Go to skidrowstudios.com. Under the fucking podcast, under comedy, Nestorius Public Radio's there. All of my episodes are there. You can hit the download button and it's just the motherfucking same. All right? So welcome Sal Rodriguez as my co-host. Yes, sir. You want to say something?
I would like to give the audience, I would like to plug myself.
Yeah,
if I can plug myself.
Plug yourself.
I would encourage everybody, if you enjoy toy and tech reviews, to go to youtube.com/SalvadorLosAngeles for some toy and tech reviews. It's some good shit.
Hold
man.
On a second. You still didn't tell me how you got from Guillermo to Sal. To Salvador. Is that your
middle
name?
On our next episode, we're going to tell you about Salvador Los Angeles, my alter ego. That's my YouTube channel.
Hold on a second.
That's my YouTube channel, man. YouTube.com/SalvadorLosAngeles. Go there right now. Subscribe. It doesn't cost anything to subscribe. Might as well do it.
Hold on a second. What the fuck's going on here?
Are we still on the air?
I think so, but my air horn isn't on.
Oh, there we go.
I don't know what's going on here. Hold on a second.
By the way, you've got a soul patch. I just really noticed now that you have a soul patch. Have you always had a soul patch?
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. There we go. I just wanted to wrap it up. All right, that's the end of our show. Get it off, get it off, let it off.
shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage.